he had a plan for this woman he loves. And she was totally, I got to hear about it afterwards. She was totally caught by surprise. She said yes. And a year from now, these two people who like each other a lot, these two people who love each other a lot, they will become family. They're currently close associates, let's call it. But in a year's time, something happens on their wedding day where they become family. Human marriage is the greatest, closest connection, image that we have of God's relationship to us. All of the Old Testament has been a preparation, not a year ago, but 3,000 years ago, of how God was going to marry his people, wed himself to his people. The prophets, time and again, talk about how God desires to wed himself, espouse himself to his people. And he sends many prophets, many patriarchs, many holy men and women along the way, preparing the road. John the Baptist being the last of them to prepare his people, because God's going to get on one knee, humbling himself before humanity and saying, "Will you be mine? I'm going to fight for you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I'm going to be there for you." And God on Christmas Day gets down on bended knee and he says, "I am giving myself to you entirely. I will never let myself be separated from you." That's the majesty of Christmas Day. Not that just God becomes man as a cute infant little baby, but that God has wed himself to his people and he becomes part of a family. The human family, the family of Mary and Joseph. But that's not enough for God. God wants to be part of your family. That God desires to dwell in every single human heart, every single home, every family that Jesus desires to save. It's so easy to take family for granted. It's the most simple, most basic, and yet most profound reality. That family is hopefully where we find support. It's a place where we find security. It's a place where we find comfort and rest, encouragement and love. And when God weds himself to his people, when he becomes our family, he does all of those things, that he protects his people. He safeguards us. He encourages us along these daunting paths, the journeys that we face, the difficult tasks that are in front of us. And I hope you know of God's love for you. This is what we celebrate on Christmas morning. You know, we hear in Luke's gospel that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem because a census was being taken. So everybody has to report to their hometown. And Joseph needs to go to his hometown of Bethlehem right when Mary's 8 months pregnant. Very convenient, you know. And we hear that there's no room at the inn. And that's a funny line. Like, what does that mean? It's like Super Bowl weekend and Joseph forgot to book a hotel, you know. It's like, that's actually really not what's going on. Joseph is going home. Some of you are visiting from out of town. You're probably staying with family. Joseph went to Bethlehem thinking he's going to stay with his family, with his relatives, with his friends. And he shows them his pregnant wife. She wasn't supposed to be pregnant. Joseph hadn't taken her into his home yet. And so when there's no room at the inn, that ultimately means that his family didn't want him to be there, didn't want Mary to be there, didn't want Jesus to be there. So he said, "Joseph, you can't stay here, but you can stay out back in the manger. Hopefully that's enough for you." That the no room at the inn is actually a lot more personal than we realize. It's not just like a flippant thing. That Jesus, from the very beginning, when he came into the world, he was rejected from the very moment. We hear in John's gospel today, he came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. He came to what was his own. He was there at the beginning of creation. He set human beings apart for a special mission, a special purpose, to both give love and receive love from God, to know him and to love him. And he came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. And this is the crazy thing about God taking on a human heart, that anybody who has a heart of a little bit of flesh knows that you are capable of being hurt. You're capable of being unwanted. You're capable of being unloved and rejected, forgotten. And from the very moment that Jesus steps into the world, he's already rejected, scorned, put aside. Many people are going to celebrate Christmas today throughout the world. And I wonder how many of them have actual room at the inn, who are willing to be inconvenienced by Jesus in their life, by God really taking root. How many people are willing to allow Jesus to step in and adjust things, that my life has to change because God is part of my life, that he comes to bring life, and yet too often we're too filled with our own stuff to actually welcome him into our lives. That's the burden of being a Christian, but that's also the joy that the shepherds at the middle of the night come from afar. The Magi will appear in a few days, coming to bring Jesus warmth and welcome. Mary and Joseph are enlightened by the light of Christ in their lives, that God becomes part of a family, and he wants to become part of your family, and that Jesus has a human heart, which means that he can delight in you. And he can also be saddened by you. That in heaven, truly, Jesus has a body pulsing with blood, a heart that truly beats. He's not dead, he's fully alive. And that his heart desires that you would be part of his, that you would be part of his life, that you would welcome him into your home. How can we not love this God who humbles himself and makes this proposal to humanity? He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our adoration. And on Christmas morning, it's so beautiful that we can come in singing and rejoicing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." We need to surrender ourselves to create room in our inns, rooms in our families. Oh, come, let us adore him.